From Social Service Sadashi, I'm Jing Yao. Feelings of burnout can be unsettling or even terrifying. And around the world, social work burnout has been very well documented. Over time, we hope to better understand the causes of burnout, including the structural causes. But for now, as a start, it feels important to normalize such discourse in Singapore. Therefore, in this episode, we speak to two young Singaporean social workers, Jing and John Lim, about their experiences of burnout and self-care. First, Jing reached out earlier this year because she wanted to, in her words, share more about her experience fighting through a burnout and also pay it forward by sharing her reframed perspective for coping. Tell me more about yourself, your brief life story, and how you started your journey as a young social worker.
Hello! I am not introducing my name because I am just shy and I just want to remain low-key and anonymous while just contributing this. But anyway, people can just remember me as Jing. So how do I end up being a social worker? Well, I mean, let me just further introduce my personal experience, especially from secondary school. So the peers will know me as the quiet, fat, sometimes cannot learn things, and then nerdy looking, and sometimes weird girl. So back then, I don't have much friends. And my friends back then, I mean, I do have a bit of friends lah last time, but either way, they either halfway drop me off, betrayed me, or made use of me. So, you know, like that, I became an easy target for bullying, gossiping, and teasing in school. So because of that, on top of that, I didn't actually have another reliable or supportive peers back then lah. So in addition, I also don't have much support from the adults in the school back then because they just see me more as the girl who will never do well in my studies, the girl who always in her own world, that kind of thing. So yeah, some of them just gave up on me lah. So this is just me last time. So let me fast forward. Going to poly, which is another side story. I took a course which I was kind of interested in, but like not super interested in. So, I mean, I still went with the flow lah after graduation. I went straight to just like do the work, a full-time work to earn some money because back then I just believe I still can have fun and connect with the work lah, the work. So, but to be honest, it was something that I enjoyed, but along the way, as I worked for a longer time, I realized I actually no connection with the job. Connection-wise, I don't know how to explain this part. I only can say that I'm doing the job just for fun and just adding flavors to my resume, but nothing else. So over time, it just gets stagnant and I just got tired of the job. So I, on the other hand, need to explore the world. If you need to feel refreshed, that kind of thing. So back then, what felt connecting to me was reaching out to serve the disadvantaged community. So I did felt like back last time, I did felt like I needed a break from my last time work. So I resigned and then seek a social work related job. And even along the way, ironically, I actually went to apply for a part-time social work degree to just advance myself. Yes, it's a tiring choice. Yeah, I'm not one who like to make myself tired, but yes, so this is how far I came. And yes, I'm a social worker currently. So one thing I want to just point out, remember I mentioned my experiences in secondary school? So I think this is what connection felt like, you know, like doing something to pay it forward from my own experiences and also wanting others who going through the same way as me to just really be served and be really be known, to really emotionally supported even though when nobody is around them. So it became my mission and commitment to build and enhance a sense of belonging and love for those disadvantaged community. And also, everyone deserves a chance to empower them to grow and become a better version of themselves. And yeah, through this, it felt very connected. And aside from this, there's fun lah, there's enjoyment and there's fulfillment. There's meaningfulness to the social work job that I'm doing. It felt different lah, like from my last time previous job. And yes, even though I enjoy social work, but I know as this topic says, there is burnout.
I want to jump on that point about burnout. This is a difficult conversation, but before this recording, we talked a little about a period of time when you felt severely burnt out. I want to make sure that this doesn't trigger those unhappy feelings or experiences again. So maybe talk about how you felt during that period to the extent that you are comfortable.
Okay, first thing first, right? I need to emphasize that I did not regret doing the mid-career switch to social work. And in fact, I still embrace this life decision that I made so far. So, of course lah, I mean, I'm not the only one, but as much passionate I was in social work, I do feel a lot of burnout along the way. Like, who doesn't? I mean, like, even though you don't do social work but you enjoy your current job, you still feel burnout, right? I mean, this is the norm, I assume. But anyway, back to the point, when I just felt like I was severely burnt out, like a few conversations come to my mind. Like, I feel like, oh, what am I doing here? I feel very important, meaningless, and everything is just mundane because there's no growth, no further, I mean, no further empowerment. And sometimes I just tell myself that, or nobody actually seeing what am I doing to contribute better. Like, I do good, also no use, man, that kind of thing. So, but honestly, right, when I see another thing that honestly, when I see other people doing good, I also do feel a bit like, oh, I end up comparing myself with them, then tell myself, hey, they do so well, then you, how about you, leh? You're not doing well also, that kind of thing, not doing as well. So, it end up making me feel myself feel, I end up making myself feel angry and bitter at everything. And adding on that, I'm just very tired lah from the, oh, everything is boring, mundane, just going through the motion, nothing happened. But ultimately, right, I want to emphasize one thing. I see and I feel that it's nobody's fault, nobody else's fault, or nobody else, nobody caused myself to feel this. It boils down to myself and it's my own unhealthy thoughts. So meaning unhealthy thoughts, like super, I had unhealthy superhero mindset that is not helping me. I thought that I can save the whole world, but actually I can't lah. I'm just a human. And remember I mentioned something about my self-esteem, right? Of course, because of that, I end up beating myself up. And then I say myself is worse, bad, etc., blur, I don't know, all that kind of thing. Yeah, so actually, all this self-depreciating mindset will not go away, actually. I see that. I always tell myself and is aware that I eventually can control how I respond to these thoughts or how I respond to what I observe around me. So, in short, it just take me effort, to tell myself that I am being and doing good enough. And that's it. And also, yeah, I mean, just give myself a pat on the back, whatever things that I contributed to the people around me, be it things go well or things not going well. And I thank myself for being present for people around me and being present for myself when serving the world. Yeah.
And to whom did you reach out when you were processing your burnout? How helpful was that process?
So I'm just going to keep it short and simple. The best that I did and the best was that I reached out to my closer friends just to vent out and speak my feeling. And then from there, they are the good support, good pillar of support with me to explore what's possible, in which area I can control to do the best for myself and others around me. So one common example is how I respond emotionally to volatile situation or like unstable situation. Example, like how I feel and tell myself when I see my client not coping well, even though I spend so much time with this person counseling. And it takes me, like, it also takes me some effort to remind myself that, hey, I've done my best. Hey, I've done what I can control. You know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, indeed, lah, there's a lot of things around us that's not within our control, but that's normal. And I tell myself that when we cannot control things, right, we shouldn't blame things for happening. Because ultimately, I personally believe that there's no right, no wrong. Everything that's happening around us is neutral. But then the next thing to consider is whether or not it's helping us or harming us. I mean, you all get what I mean, right? Like, yeah, I mean, it just works that the world works that way, lah. No right, no wrong, but just whether or not is it helping us or helping others or harming, vice versa. Yeah, but this is just my personal belief, and I don't want the personal belief. And I mean, whoever who feels like, or you want to disagree with me or what, feel free to just watch it out, lah, whatsoever.
And I guess it's the final question. How did you process and tackle your burnout, and how are you feeling right now? And in the bigger picture, how can we start to open up spaces for support and help among social workers in Singapore?
Okay, so I have a very big and long note to self. And I just want to do, so I mentioned, like, I just want to do my part. You just convey it, what I always tell myself. And you being that to just influence to others, not just to social workers, but everyone else holding a job that they love, but do feel tired along the way. So, yeah, I mean, what I have been telling myself is that what is important to me, and I want to raise up the importance of being vulnerable and honest with my feeling to others. Of course, to those that I trust, like my friends who care. And then friends who approach me to speak to me, find out more, how am I feeling, how am I doing, how am I coping. I mean, okay, sidetrack. I discovered that also the type that bottle up a lot, and also, overwhelm myself with a lot of negative feeling. Like they say, Chinese they say, oh, 自作啦, like, oh, I bring upon myself. And I feel everything, when I felt every negative emotion back then, I was very down, like I was really like feeling very bad, that kind of thing. So with those people coming and approaching me for support, like wanting to reach out their hands to me, I feel like back then I started to open up my eyes to see that I am actually not alone in this world, and I actually can reach out for support. And then to just speak about my thoughts, my feelings. And from there, having someone to be with me to just get clear on what's next and what's possible. Even though when things very messy lah. So when work got overwhelming, I stopped. I actually stopped like overloading myself and asked others for help. So I tell myself that I do need to be controlled in everything if I get out of control. You see? And of course, to fit in some pocket of time for self-care and self-pampering is very important. Like, oh, I worked so hard for the day and now it's time for ice cream and bubble tea. So it's really just self-pampering and rewarding myself for the day. So as long as it makes me feel better, I don't care, even though I'm quite weight conscious, by the way. When people come to me for work, or like ask me to help with work, I realized that this is something that I cannot entertain. I also learned the importance of setting boundaries and say no if it's necessary. And yes, I think one more thing about me is that I have difficulty saying no. I'm always a yes person, and that's why I always get bullied after I'm in school, but that's a beside the point. But anyway, yeah, I mean, setting boundaries is very, very important. Sometimes, at times, a no, right, is better than a yes. And what I mean is that a no is better than a yes means that you're helping others, and in turn, you're helping yourself as well. Better than, oh, you say yes, then you mess things up, blah, blah, blah. But that is the like one of the worst case scenario. So ultimately, in summary, is to tell myself to stop the superhero mindset, because if I can't care for myself or can't save myself, then I cannot save others better, effectively. So in short, if you all like cannot remember the whole podcast or whatsoever, just remember this one short sentence. If you are feeling burnt out or tired or feeling very down, feeling very bad during your work, you know, within your work, just speak to people that you trust and ask for support. When it get tough, when nothing, and when it get tough, get too tough, nothing wrong to self-care and set boundary. And yes, it takes a lot of awareness and self-reminder, so it's good to also have someone to be your, have someone to be, how to say, like, have someone you'll be accountable for, lah. Yeah, so I think that's all about it. And yes, I wish all of you the best, and I believe you guys are, everyone in this world, some gem in this society that they contribute to different things. So I hope everyone would be fulfilled, lah, and not being empty. Yep.
Next, we speak with John Lim, who trained in social work in the United Kingdom. He currently works as a social worker in Singapore and is excited about helping young social workers to serve with purpose and passion. John writes practical tips for social workers at SaveTheSocialWorker.com. John, so thanks for joining us. I guess the first question I have for you is, you know, through your work and through your time as a social worker, what were the moments when you felt burnt out, or where you felt like you had moments of burnout, or you felt exhausted through the process?
Yeah, thanks so much, Tin Yao. That's a great question. Thanks for having me as well. So I think there were two particular moments. I think the first moment came when I started to question myself about whether what I'm doing in social work, like, is really making any change. And I think many social workers come into this role wanting to transform and make like real significant changes to help people. But as you do more of it, as I did more of it, I began to question myself and grow a bit disillusioned about the changes that I was really making. And this came because I would always see the same problems like appearing over and over again. And so I wondered if I was just sticking a plaster on the problem or making any significant changes in terms of the roots of the issues. And I think that causes me as a social worker to feel quite burnt out, especially because you're giving so much of yourself in this job and you feel like nothing seems to be changing significantly. So at the end of the day, how I've reconciled it is really to tell myself that, okay, things might not be changing like at the roots, but at least I'm trying. It might not be transformed, but at least I would rather try than not try at all. So that was the first time. And I think more widely, the second time was because as a social worker, you are trained to see problems. And the issue is once you see problems, you can't unsee them. So you find yourself bringing this like tinted glasses to every single situation you are in. Like in a hawker center, you might notice elderly person still working, cleaning the hawker center. And then you start asking yourself like, why is she doing this? Is she getting help? And then your eyes naturally get attuned to the suffering rather than just realizing that what you see in social work is maybe like the most vulnerable in society, and it's not an accurate representation of the whole of society. So yeah, those two moments let me feel quite burnt out.
And in thinking about those two moments, right, in terms of feeling disillusioned, or mm-hmm. in terms of, as you framed it, in terms of being trained to see problems and social, economic, social, political problems, in processing this, who are the folks or individuals to whom you reach out when you want to process these kind of like thoughts, right, of disillusionment and of mm-hmm. processing and being trained to see problems? Who do you reach out to?
So I personally reached out a lot to my therapist. I believe that it's something that all social workers or all helping professionals should have, like a therapist, to constantly process and help them to see like their thinking patterns and to break out of unhelpful thinking patterns. My observation is that not many helping professionals do that because of perhaps the stigma and also perhaps because of the cost. So the therapist just does help me to question and to give another eye on to what I'm experiencing. The second person that for me helps a lot are my colleagues. I think as helping professionals, the support you have around you and that sense of camaraderie amongst the colleagues does help you to process and to realize that you're not alone in this particular profession, that everyone is equally vested and equally interested in helping you. So the camaraderie amongst colleagues and my therapist does help.
And you don't mind me asking, so when did the thought of going to a therapist come across your mind? That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And as a quick follow-up, affordable or how kind of frequent do you talk to your therapist and how did you get access in the first place?
So I started seeing a therapist when I came back from the UK, really to make sense of some of the grief that I felt from moving back and the losses that I felt. And in terms of the cost, my therapist gives me a discount because he's been working with me for quite some time.
The exact amount, but yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of the cost, yeah, it can be quite pricey, but I do see him once a month. And I have seen that many agencies do help in terms of defraying the cost of therapy. So many agencies actually have inbuilt counseling sessions into their contract. So depending on the type of agency, you might be offered like the reimbursement for 3 to 5 different counseling sessions over the year. And I believe that's important to make use of. From my observation, it doesn't seem like many social workers do, but I always think it's very helpful.
And in addition to seeing your therapist and then developing and taking advantage of that camaraderie between the colleagues, how else do you manage burnout and when you have those feelings of disillusionment and feeling like you're seeing problems everywhere?
So for me, what's very helpful is to have self-validation rather than self-flagellation. I think as social workers, it's very easy to flog yourself for not doing enough because there's always more to be done. And you might feel like not good enough, fast enough, efficient enough. And I believe that it's during these times that you need to take a step back and to celebrate yourself. So one exercise my therapist always told me to do was to write a letter of love to myself. And when I initially did it, I wondered like why. But later it was, as I did more of it, that I realized that it actually helps you to see the qualities in yourself rather than the problems. And I think it also helps you to stop depending on external validation, like whether your client achieves outcomes or whether your agency meets certain standards, but it places the responsibility for your validation within internally. So that's something that has really helped me in terms of like writing down like the qualities I celebrate myself for and I'm proud of, and how I've shown them in the past.
And I guess we've talked a lot and you've been very open and honest about your own experiences. I guess the final broader question would be, how do we then start to open up spaces for support and help among social workers, right? Because you spoke to the importance of, I imagine within your agency, that's a really strong pillar of support. But across different agencies and across, you know, different areas of focus as well, how do you think we can start opening up some of these spaces for support and help amongst one another?
So thanks so much for that question, Sinyao. I'm not sure I'm best placed to tell agencies like how to do that. But I believe that a lot of the personal onus lies on the social worker, because many times as social workers, we can look at the problem as out there, as being okay, like problems with the system, problems with the culture. And we don't realize that within us, actually, there is a great opportunity to model the culture that we want to see. So you create the culture that you want to see. And I think that starts with being open and vulnerable yourself with your colleagues or your supervisors and being able to give and receive that trust within the agency. I think you might also know that a great defining factor of agencies with great culture is that sense of psychological safety. And in psychological safety, it starts from, I believe, us as the social worker in being able to share openly and also being able to go up to a colleague and ask, like, how are you? How are you really? Rather than just like the nice pleasantries, like, how are you? I'm fine. Okay. And then we go on to the rest of our day without even thinking about how to really listen to the other colleague. And I think the last thing is really to be able to be in a place where you see suffering amongst your colleagues. I love this quote by author George Saunders, and he says at this commencement speech that, I think I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, the moments I felt worst about was the moments when a human being was suffering and I responded mildly. I just stood there. And so I think it's in moments like that, right? When you see a colleague suffering and there's a decision there, you could think, I will go on with the rest of my day, or I will choose to tune in and ask that person like how he is. Because you will see colleagues who are going through difficult times. And I'm not saying that you try and be their therapist, but just trying to see them and trying to be there for them does help in terms of creating that wider sense of trust and safety within the agency.
No, that's really well put. I mean, you've given us a lot of food for thought, and I really thank you for your sharing. And hopefully we will move towards the direction of being more willing and concerned about, you know, how our colleagues and our friends are doing in that sense. So thank you very much for your sharing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.